whoever he baptized.
Anybody? Well, say, for example, you look at Corinth and you see what happens is they call Barnabas, and Barnabas and Paul come and establish the church before they begin that work. It's the same reason the apostles were dispatched to Samaria before anyone was baptized. They had to.
How about Philip? Who did Philip appeal to when he baptized the eunuch? Anybody?
Philip was chosen in Acts chapter 6, hands laid upon him by the apostles.
Who did he appeal to when he baptized Philip? What I'm just saying is that that's an inconsistent argument. If you have to appeal to the church around you, Philip was on a mission by himself. He was all alone, actually, in this whole episode. There was him and a eunuch, and the eunuch says, "There's water. What forbids me from being baptized right now?"
He was Philip the deacon and also Philip the evangelist, given the authority by the church to do that. Hands laid upon him in commissioning for the service.
Who laid hands upon him? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, I would say the apostles that were gathered in Jerusalem. I think there might have been a couple of the apostles who had already been dispatched, but it would have been the apostles that were remaining behind in Jerusalem. Remember, the church scattered to Samaria, and the apostles stayed. The apostles stayed behind, refused to leave under the threat of persecution. So
what I'm saying is, at best, what we're getting at here is something of a red herring. I could also say, to what authority did John the Baptist appeal to when he, was doing what he was doing?
Okay, so I can.
And again, I'm not claiming to be John.
If anything, I am consistent. Right. So when I dealt with AHA, I was for the Church Repent Project until I had to.
Oh, that's good, man. Thank you.
I had to repent of my support for AHA because. They became sectarian minimalists. They left the church, and they stood outside the church to protest the church. And I said, here you are outside of the body of Christ. You're not members of a church. You haven't been duly constituted in a biblical way to be a church, and yet you're protesting the church. So you've become, instead of the church, a mistress dragging people away from the groom. It's a terrible sin. And so at the very least, I would encourage you on a personal level have the authority of a biblical church to engage in really what you're doing, which is ministry.
JD, well, listen, why would you not rather encourage me instead of assuming the worst that that's not what I'm doing? Didn't I just share with you? Part of the reason I left New York City was the inability to find meaningful fellowship and being a part of several heretical home churches because I didn't want to be a part of that, right? So in an effort to find meaningful biblical fellowship and an established biblical church, I've been actively seeking that, right? The inability to find that is no fault of my own. It's not through the fault of trying or seeking to isolate myself, right? So when I tell you that I just came across a couple of brothers and my intention is to meet with them, that's what's happening. That's actively happening. You should rather say, amen, I'm so glad to hear that, rather than
the church in Corinth had all sorts of problems. They were puffed up. They were embracing of sin. Paul rebukes the daylights out of that guy. He rebukes the church. What's interesting is he doesn't tell the church to disband. He doesn't tell anyone to leave the church. They're to embrace that church in spite of its flaws, trying to reform the church and call them to holiness in their lifestyle, character, and conduct. My fear is because of your view of separation, you're going to be left without a church, even though there are churches around you that are far more holy than that of Corinth.
JD, I think your problem is misunderstanding. There wasn't a... If you're thinking of church in today's terms, you can't read your experience into the text of the Bible. When he references the church in Corinth, he wasn't referencing a single place. He was referencing a single city in which there were multiple dozens of small churches. Not one megachurch, dozens and dozens of home churches. Well, can you give me any historical or biblical reason why? I can give you biblical reasons that that's incorrect to disagree.
Hold on a second. What are we disagreeing about? Whether or not it was one church or multiple churches? Yeah, at that time, the schism had not yet happened in Corinth, and in the early days of the church.
The churches
gathered in homes, but they also gathered in public places like the school of Tyrannus that could hold them. So he's writing to a specific congregation with membership to kick out a specific person. He wasn't telling
all of the church in Corinth. Yeah.
He wasn't writing to 10 different churches in Corinth, all telling them to come together to remove under discipline one specific member of one of those specific churches. He was writing to the church in Corinth. There was one.
No. You just read a whole lot of stuff into the text that it doesn't say, and that contradicts what we do know, which is, in fact, when we read to the church which is in Ephesus, it was not referencing one massive mega church. It was referencing the city, which in its, because we're reading our definition, our parlance of 2017 into that definition. The church as a definite article, the church in Corinth, encompasses every believer in Corinth. That's the definition, the called out one of Corinth. But several of them met in different places. It's undeniable. They met at home. Yeah,
my wife texted me and asked me where I was, because I have a phone call. It's better to be driving around the neighborhood than with five kids.
Right.
So we're going to have to end the conversation at some point. So, I would never encourage someone to agree to disagree. I would encourage the two parties.
We got a bit distracted at the end there, because my personal situation is wholly separate from what I'm getting at.
It wasn't a distraction, because it was on my agenda to talk about. That I don't.
Well, it's
like
on Justin Peters' agenda too. It's his only objection. Is the best he can do is attack me. That's the best they could do with Elijah. Well, you're a troublemaker. Based on what? Well, why did they? What did they say about Jesus? You have to attack the man, not what he says.
I haven't said you're a troublemaker, but I have been.
No, I know.
So with AHA, I would say if you're not a part of the church, you don't get to attack the church, or even if it's, you don't even get to admonish the church lovingly. You're not a part of it. You're outside of it.
But if you can't define the church, I'd argue that you're not a part of it, and that.
Oh, I can define it.
Twisted irony. Yeah, but
frontwards, backwards, and sideways. Oh, I have. You've disputed my definition. It is pastors, it is elders, it has membership, it has the means of grace.
Well, I don't deny that that's a local expression of a church. Yes, but when we're referencing the church at large, when Paul was in prison and his fellowship with nobody, was any less a part of the church?
I do not recognize the membership of someone in the universal church unless they are a member of the local church. Extra ecclesia.
What church was Paul a member of? What church?
Extra ecclesia of Nulla Salus. He was an apostle. Yeah. He was an apostle.
So he wasn't a pastor. So he wasn't required to be a member of a church.
He was a hand-selected apostle of Jesus Christ.
Now let me ask you a question, and this is only a question. Don't hear more than I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying.
Yep.
How do you know I'm not a boss? An apostle? How do you know?
I have no idea. Don't
hear what I'm not saying. I'm just asking.
I don't know for sure that you're an apostate. I couldn't call you a brother.
No. Not an apostate. How do you know I'm not an apostle?
I don't believe in apostles.
But why? Based on Ephesians 4:11.
I did a whole debate on this. You can watch if you want to.
Uh-huh.
So the answer is because there are certain qualifications of an apostle. Again, I'll be brief, but I do need to end the conversation soon,
yeah.
Okay? So an apostle was a witness to the resurrected Christ. An apostle had to be someone who had received their teaching directly from Jesus, and an apostle did signs, which are apostles, 2 Corinthians 12:12.
Right.
And miracles, signs, and wonders to demonstrate their apostleship. I am not a new apostolic reformation heretic. The historic church has never recognized the existence of the apostolate outside of the New Testament era. And
okay,
so
Barnabas, Silas, and Apollos, what were they?
They were lowercase A apostles, not capital
A. How do you know
A?
I'm not one of those? How do you know I'm not a lowercase apostle?
Because you cannot be an apostle. The difference is capital A is an apostle of Christ, lowercase a is an apostle of the church. You're not a member of a church, therefore you cannot be an apostle of the church. That would be a missionary. You're not a missionary of the church because you're not a member of the local church.
Okay, what church was Silas a member of, or Apollos?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, well that's...
There are some things I'm not privy to. I'm not omniscient.
Right. Well, and that's a good point. And that might be the point of Selah for the evening. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not claiming anything in particular. I'm just saying maybe there's things that we need to think through
before
we accuse.
I will be happy to hang my hat on the lack of my omniscience.
Right. And likewise, I'm not claiming to be omniscient.
I wear that with no shame.
That said, I would caution you and actually ask that you don't assume the worst about me. And don't assume that what I'm saying is not of the Lord. I'm not saying I was handpicked by the Lord, but I'm also saying let's not just write people off because what they're saying maybe goes against the grain or because it's not possible.
Do you feel, Joshua, that I've listened to you and heard you out?
Sure, yeah, I think you've listened for the most part, yeah.
Okay, I believe that I've listened and heard you out. And so maybe there can be some camaraderie around at least that mutual respect.
I don't think we actually finished talking about the main issue, which was really, if I'm guilty of sin by befriending the Antichrist Pope, you would be guilty of sin by embracing me and not separating from me. And that's
by
the crux of it.
I don't know that I should be associating with you when you're not a member of the local church, lest I be an heir, and then by default, everyone that associates with me.
But you're assuming that I'm committing some obstinate habitual sin. That's not fair. If somebody is trying to do something, you should rather encourage them in that effort.
From a preponderance of Scripture, you have an obligation to belong to a local body, to receive the means of grace, to be under the authority of an elder who has charge over your soul.
Yes, but unless you can prove that I'm seeking actively to not do that, then you're assuming, and that's false witness, actually. I caution you. I'm, as a holder of the covenant of grace, beware.
We talked about assuming brotherhood before. I thought we were on the same page.
Yeah, well, do you assume that I'm a brother or not, really? You don't want to give that
assumption. No, unless you're a member of the local church, it would be foolish to assume that you're a brother.
Right, so is it foolish to say that... but if one is an apostle, then they don't have to be a member of a local church. Is that true, according to you?
I'd say being hand-selected by Jesus is pretty good criterion of someone's calling and fellowship with Christ. John.
Right, but so was Silas was handpicked by Jesus and Apollos was handpicked by Jesus, too?
We're going back to the lowercase a, capital A thing.
Right,
here's what I would encourage you to do. I'd try to reach out to Justin Peters, and I'd ask yourself, again, do it again, one more time. See how he responds, but I would say, you really should treat him differently than you should treat Clayton Jennings or Todd Bentley.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't think I haven't done that. Well, what I'm saying is there's an
I've released private correspondence with Tom Rayner because he's a crack dealer. I wouldn't release private correspondence with Justin Peters.
Well, Justin Peters said some things that maybe other people wouldn't want to hear, that they might be interested to know, you know? And more of it has to do with his disposition and his unwillingness to even consider that MacArthur might be an heir. His whole argument was MacArthur's done too much good. It's impossible for him to do bad.
If that is the logic, do you think the logic to be consistent would be true that people likewise should know that as you criticize Justin, you're not a member of a local church or a part of one?
Oh, you can criticize for me that, but it's obvious that it's a retaliatory act to distract from what I'm saying. Again, it's an ad hominem attack, right? So to say that I'm not a member of a local church and therefore what I'm saying is false is just highly fallacious, and a freshman law student would laugh at that. But moreover,
would it be wrong to release private correspondence between myself and you saying that you're not a member of the local church?
No, in fact, I might release this phone call as well. I don't have anything to hide behind, JD. You're going to have to understand something. I'm not afraid of anything that I stand for or what I do. What I'm doing, I will stand before God and give an account of, and I'm happy that everybody knows what I'm doing at all times, right? I am happily putting myself above reproach, and I'm open to public scrutiny, right? I have nothing to hide.
Joshua, you don't have a church that can discipline you. How can you say that you're putting yourself as above reproach? the church is the body that is to determine the level.
Hey, I have a question for you. Will you pray for me that I find that church instead of critiquing me and criticizing me and accusing me as though I'm doing it on purpose? Can you just pray for me? That would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll pray for you. I might do both.
Thank you.
I might critique you as well, but I would definitely pray that you find that biblical church.
You're going to critique me for actively seeking to find a group of believers? Because guess what? I'm going to fellowship with them in a couple of days. And at that point, JD, I will be a member of a local church, right? And that will have established elders and that will have deacons, actually. There are more than three members of this church I'm already being welcomed into, though I haven't met with them yet. I met with one of them yesterday and I'm meeting with the rest of them in a couple of days. So, lest you put the cart before the horse, why don't you just pray for me that this goes well?
When was the last time that you were a member of a church?
The last time that I was in fellowship with a group of Christians?
No, excuse me. I think you misunderstood. The last time you were a member of a local church?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean, a member of a local church? I mean, are you stipulating something that's in the subtext there that you should make clear?
I can fellowship with, like, tons of people, but I'm in membership with a specific body.
Membership, we all have matching tattoos? What do you mean by membership? Can you define that?
Yeah, like covenant membership with a church that can discipline you when you're being stupid or sinful.
Define covenant membership. I don't know what that means.
I got it in the phone call, Matt. You know what I mean. Quit playing.
What do you mean? Was my signature on a paper? No. Weekly?
Years?
JD, months. But there's scarce few churches in New York City. I don't know if you've been. Scarce few churches in New York City. I don't know if you've been, but if you ever have a chance to go, I'd recommend against it.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is a surgeon in New York in Manhattan, I understand. I'm also familiar with several.
That's where I lived. I lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I lived in Washington Heights. Recently lived in Brooklyn. There's not a whole lot in the way of churches up there. I fellowship with, I was...
Have you heard of Fellowship Baptist Church in Brooklyn?
No.
No.
Well, I never went there anyway. There's no shortage of churches, quote unquote.
Okay.
There's a ton of churches to go to. I went to Tim Keller's church once to rebuke one of his pastors. Those things were there. But primarily, I spent a whole lot of time evangelizing on the streets, and there was a group of us that did that.
You have my cell phone number. You can call me back whenever you want. Don't text that first number. Text this number.
Right. No. Well, let's put this off for tonight, and hopefully continue the conversation. We can maybe pick up, give it a couple of days or whatever.
All right.
Because there's more to discuss. But here's what I'm asking of you. And I think you know this is absolutely the truth. I hope you can hear my heart in this. I'm not appealing to anything in Josh's turn wheel of opinion, wheelhouse of opinions. That's what I wanted.
There you go.
What I'm appealing to is what I see clearly mandated in Scripture. And I'm not denying that somebody shouldn't be a part of a local church. I'm saying don't assume that that's not my goal. Gosh, don't assume that at all. If you knew my private prayer life, if you knew what my mother's been personally praying for me and for her and for my stepfather, it's been exactly that. Meaningful biblical fellowship with an established biblical church. Not being able to find that is not through a desire to not find it. It's through an unfortunate series of events wilderness. So.
Will you consider that possibly part of the reason you've not been able to find one is because of an errant view of the degrees of separation which you hold to?
No, not at all. Okay. Well, no. That could be the case, but I would say that I'm called to do that. In other words, if the whole lump is leavened, am I supposed to be in there? Is my white suit going to make the mud clean? No, come out from among her, my people. So my job is to get, if the church is that corrupt, you get out of it and you go somewhere else. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said exactly that. Once I had perceived some horrible error, I quitted the body at once. That's what he said.
Gotcha. Hey, I gotta let you go, man. Right. I gotta get home, okay? So.
Well, let's end it for now, and we'll pick back up on another note. So, in the meantime, Godspeed.
Right. Yep.
And we'll take it on the next go round.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Amen. Bye.